From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome to the Jack and Spike Show. More problems for Boeing as an engine. What was it? The engine.
The engine cover. Yeah.
Yeah, but
imagine the hood flying off your car.
Yeah, but that's for when people read that, they think that's the engine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because then it hit a wings flap or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Fun time to way to start your flight.
And also, there's a Washington cop group who's holding a MAGA member accountable. I can't believe we're going to start holding people accountable, being that that guy's been out of office for 3 years. But before we get to all of that, I now get to be very bored because Laura said we should talk about the eclipse. And I said, Laura, there are a few things I hate talking about more than the weather or food. And one of those things are solar eclipses. We are not pagans. We do not worship the sun god. We do not need to sacrifice thousands of people at Gibliotepe so that the sun comes back. Can we please not talk about this? And then Laura looked me with tears in her eyes. She said, sir, I can't believe they're charging you with this. Oh, wait, that's the Trump story. Sorry. She said,
they're streaking down her cheeks.
She said, can we please talk about the eclipse? And I said, okay, Laura, we can talk about the eclipse. So it's boring and uninteresting, and the sun is going to go away for 30 seconds.
And it's happening now.
And it's happening right now. Nicholas, are you excited about this?
It's that big old dark circle. Yeah, it gives me jitters just seeing it right
now. I mean, Spike, is this something you're into before we get into more important stuff?
I am glad we're not doing wall-to-wall live coverage of the eclipse, as several major news networks are doing. Wall-to-wall live coverage. It's getting dark, Jack.
It's getting dark.
It's eerily dark.
And then it will not be dark.
It's getting light again.
So I was looking at the actual percentage of darkness that we're going to experience, how much of the sun is actually going to be covered. And actually, in Seattle, it's 100% because it's cloudy and you can't see the sun. It's 20%. So if the clouds weren't out right now, you'd be able to see about 20%.
This always happens to us with the clouds.
I know.
Meteor showers.
Gee, weather.
Cool.
This is what I'm talking about, man. Everybody loses their mind over the eclipse. Spike, you were all excited about the fact that people spent tens of thousands of dollars going around in some kind of bizarre effort to see the eclipse. And my thought about it was,
that's what I thought too. Eclipse tourism. Every Airbnb between Texas and Maine was booked up.
Boring.
Right? Boring. How would you like to spend months, if not a year, plotting your trip, getting the kids out of school, spending $15,000 to drive halfway across the country, put yourself in the, what do you call that, total immersion or the total blockage zone or the
lower... Path of totality.
Path of totality. The lower intestine of eclipse viewing. And all of a sudden, whoops, cloud cover, sorry. Let's try to drive 8 hours from the place we rented for top dollar to get someplace you can see it. I'm actually with you, buddy. This was much ado about nada nada.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. We're doing a radio show. Okay. So back to the news. Am I right or am I right?
Yeah, you are.
Why is a group of Washington cops deciding to hold Chief Culp accountable for his actions? Being that Chief Culp, he ran for the governorship.
Yeah.
He lost it and then he contested it in court. And I think, as a matter of fact, at one point in time, a judge said, Chief Culp, this is embarrassing.
Yes,
you
did.
Need to absolutely stop doing this because he thought that the election had been rigged against him. And what we now know, thanks to Mike Pillow, Lindell, and what we now know from Carrie Lake is that the election was 100% stolen. I'm crazy enough to say it, you guys. I'll say it. We all know the election was stolen. Look at all the mountains of evidence that are out there. And why was the public never allowed to look at said evidence? Think about that for 2 seconds, Spike. Oh, wait, all those things are lies. That's right. So Chief Culp is now being held to account by the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs, also known as WASPC. WASP, which they could probably use a better acronym. Am I right or am I right?
That's hard. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Right.
It's actually troubling.
And they're going to start an expulsion proceeding against the former GOP congressional and gubernatorial candidate, Lauren Culp. Danny Westneat writes this piece. He says it feels like a long overdue cultural moment. But in actuality, outside of being an election denier and being a man of poor fashion, I don't think that he's committed any crimes, right? I mean, I don't see why would you expel somebody just for their rhetoric. Sure, it's bad rhetoric. Sure, he threatened to lynch somebody or suggested that somebody be lynched.
I think that might be one
that
of the
really? Fact. Okay.
Yeah, he really, really did. But he pursued it in court with something that is proven that he knew was a disingenuous legal claim.
I see.
Undermining the integrity of law enforcement itself at that point. And it's a relationship issue with law enforcement in the community. We see that every single day.
So Chief Culp decided to attack Representative Jacqueline Maycumber. She's a Republican who had endorsed Nikki Haley. Now, I can't actually repeat what he said because I'm a good, clean Christian boy. But he said, we are the only ones who are going to get the word out about this backstabbing. Insert
Ruff.
A slur word yeah, for a yeah. female dog. And then he goes on to refer to, I mean, I just can't believe that this human being is walking around. I don't even want to say it, Spike, to be honest.
Well, this is why we have Governor Inslee for a third term.
Yes,
because
exactly.
Because this small town sheriff, who's a nice enough guy, I guess, when he was the sheriff of Republic, but he bought totally hook, line, and sinker into the MAGA-ism election, never surrender,
yeah.
never admit a mistake, never admit defeat mentality.
So we are talking about this group of cops who are trying to get Chief Culp removed from his job as an officer because of his various and sundry activities around election denialism. I think that we should pity Chief Culp for a number of reasons. A lot of people saw the momentum that Trump got by being brash, by being rude, by being kind of fairly candid about how he felt about everything.
Yeah.
And then they saw other people who were basically nobodies beginning to rise up through the social ranks and becoming somebodies. The libs of TikTok, Elise Stefanik.
Yes, now number three Republican in Congress.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, Carrie Lake.
Gone from opening a CrossFit center to one of the most powerful Republicans in America.
Right, in a very short period of time. And so I think that Chief Culp saw that. And he made a series of mistakes, which was basically buying into the lie that is Donald Trump. Now, a lot of people, whenever I comment on Donald Trump, they say, prove one thing that's not true about Donald Trump. And then we go into this whole thing about, well, he said he was going to drain the swamp, but he had more lobbyists in his administration than almost any other president. He said he was going to drain the swamp and cut federal funding, but he added 2.3 million jobs to the Department of Transportation, basically turning it into a jobs program. He had the best, lowest unemployment rate of all time. That's technically true, but he removed the federal guidelines that counted somebody on the lists of being unemployed from 18 months down to 12 months, thus reducing it by a third artificially. So that is a completely made up statistic. And so
I think 14 hours of your life are gone.
But none of those stats really matter, because what Trump sells people is good feelings. It's good vibes. And Chief Culp thought that he could ride that train as well. And unfortunately, it's backfired against him. You know, particularly, I think when it comes to the governor's race and everything else that he has engaged in, I see nothing. I'm going to say this is a statement of opinion, not a statement of fact for legal reasons, but a morally bereft, despicable human being who is not deserving of any praise or any kind of celebration whatsoever. I see somebody who is deeply mentally ill to the point where he's talking about lynching somebody who was accused of, not convicted, accused of a crime. Is that somebody who belongs in the office of the sheriff's department or even the gubernatorial office?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Also, his fashion sense is terrible, which is the biggest
that.
Crime at all. It's the biggest crime at all. Look at this tailored hoodie. He can't even get his clothes tailored. What is this?
Well, some of the people that have risen through the ranks of MAGA Republicanism have some charisma. You know, I may not agree with anything they say or how they address their constituency,
mm-hmm.
but they got snap. They got swagger. Culp is devoid of snap and swagger.
If he had a little
more game, he may have been able to pull something off.
So Danny Westneat writes, Culp is like a mini Trump, both in his crass put downs and his refusal to accept accountability for anything, such as losing an election.
Right.
And then after he lost his job, he got hired to run the jail in Clickitat County.
Well done.
It's along the Columbia River. So following the death of one inmate under his, another was found covered with bugs and suffering from rotting flesh. Again, that is in the prison that he is supposed to run.
Yes.
So what we're seeing is somebody who's incompetent, and we're seeing somebody who's become addicted to power. What happens to somebody when they become addicted to power, right? I mean, this is, you know, there's been studies that have been done that have been shown that power, control, is as addictive as cocaine. It operates on the same portions of our brain.
I can believe it.
And so if you're someone like Chief Culp, who doesn't necessarily have a lot of self-awareness, in my opinion, I'm not saying that as a statement of fact for legal reasons, you are looking at somebody who doesn't actually know how bad he is at his job. So I'm all in favor for this. I don't think that he should be anywhere near any kinds of reins of power. And They should probably kick him out of the...
the WASP-C?
The WASP-C, whatever the acronym
I know,
was.
WASP-C.
But, you know, he's welcome to come on the show if he wants to. I mean, I'd be happy to talk to the guy about, you know, threatening to lynch somebody who was accused of a crime. I'd be interested to talk to the guy. And I'd also be interested to talk to the guy about his bogus Trump claims, which seems to be that he's fully bought into that lie, the kind of Carrie Lake, Marjorie Taylor Greene, whatever it might be. Let me just say this as well before we wrap all this up. There's a lot of Republicans who are leaving. They're not running for re-election.
21 members of Congress from the Republican side of the aisle, and there's a lot of Democrats also.
Yeah.
And people time out of tenure. They move on to, they lose their cabinet or their committee chairmanship, and they want to leave Congress to make more money in the private sector.
Oh, yeah, they do.
But now, who is it, Gallagher in Wisconsin, I think it is? He's got, once he retires in 2 weeks, the Republicans will have a one-seat majority.
Yeah, it's going to be rough.
And if you look at the across the board of the 21 people coming back, none of them are MAGA, a single one.
So if you're a member of the GOP, you should find this to be pretty concerning that you have 20 people who could have maintained their seats and maintained their positions for the good of the party who are choosing to leave, right? They're choosing to undercut the party because they don't want to be involved in any MAGA nonsense, which is why, like I try to tell my friends in the GOP, this is not a ticket that you want. It's not a ride you want to buy the ticket for. This is not a trail you want to go down because it's not going to go well. It's going to go really, really bad, really, really fast. And then you're going to be left with no party. You're going to be left with no real leaders in the party because they're not. As soon as you buy the MAGA ticket, you're a MAGA guy for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
All right. So Boeing has run into significant problems yet again. A flight was leaving from Denver, and it lost an engine cover at about 10,000 feet. Now, you might be saying, hey, my hood's popped up every so often while I'm driving. What's the big deal? So that engine cover then struck one of the little plane, what do they call it?
I think it's a stabilizer, a wing stabilizer.
And damaged it.
The up and down thing on an airplane, kind of important.
Yeah, the thing, you know, the thing that when William Shatner looked out and he saw the thing,
yes.
That's what he was concerned about. And so they had to then take the plane and land it immediately. It was a Southwest Airlines flight, not an Alaska flight, which, by the way, Alaska, you got to call your boy. I'm flying in 2 weeks, first class. You know what I'm talking about.
I will
be your greatest endorser of all time. So the what's interesting about this is exactly what Frank Shires was talking about when he was on a couple of weeks ago, where the quality control at Boeing has dropped significantly because the profit motive took over. Now, I get into a lot of debates with people who claim that I'm not a capitalist. They say, Jack, you're such a lib. You don't sound like a capitalist, but I love capitalism. I think it's done lots of great things for this country. Mm-hmm. The problem with capitalism is that it is something that is worth criticism, but people don't want to do it because they think that if you criticize aspects of capitalism, that makes you a filthy Marxist. The issue with Boeing's version of their capitalist model is sacrificing efficacy in safety and protocols in order to pump out more planes faster to increase the profit motive, which sounds good in a capitalist system, but then you get how many weeks, Spike? 12 weeks of consistent wheel problems, bolt problems, door panel problems.
Yeah, it started with the door panel, and it's been a cavalcade of ever since.
The flight in New Zealand that came to an abrupt stop. Then they're still trying to figure out why that happened, meaning it's going down the runway at speed and all of a sudden it just stops. Yeah. I mean, these are significant issues and these need to be addressed. You can't blame this on DEI, right? This is not diversity, equity, and inclusion at Boeing that's causing these problems. If you look at the rates at which they are turning out planes now versus what they were doing previously, there's a one-to-one correlation there of the more that they pump out, the less safety regulations are in place to get those things up in the air.
You know, you can be for capitalism and still be against bad business practices,
which
should ultimately undermine capitalism.
Exactly.
I mean, Southwest, who had the cover pop off the engine yesterday, had an engine fire less than a week ago. Second time in 2 weeks for Southwest on a Boeing plane, both Boeing 737-800s, which is the older version of the MAX. To your point, Boeing used to make airplanes. Then Boeing made money. Boeing decided to be corporate, stock dividend driven. How many can we get out the door? Not how many can we keep in the sky. How many can we get out the door every month? And until that mentality is just driven from the company,
right?
That it's not coming back. It can come back if that is done. And until they do, forget it.
Yeah, I think you're just going to keep seeing this happen over and over and over again. But the good news is that we're seeing pretty well-built planes having catastrophic failure, and then everybody lands safely for the most part. There was that one death in New Zealand, but that was from blunt force trauma.
Well, yeah, and since those two Maxes were horrific crashes where hundreds and hundreds died, there hasn't been a fatality.
Right.
The blunt force, as you mentioned, with all due respect.
I just think it's interesting that people are blaming DEI. That's how much they don't want to blame capitalism for this, is they want to blame DEI, which if you look at Boeing's hiring standards, they are pretty high when it comes to whoever it is that they hire.
I can tell you that my father-in-law, who spent 40 years at Boeing, worked next to folks of all colors, sexes, orientations. And what mattered was how well you did your job.
Yeah.
Didn't matter where you came from in your ancestry.
I suppose it's easier to blame DEI, though, than to actually talk about the minutia of what it means to make a plane too fast, right? It's a lot easier to say, like, they're hiring women and Hispanic people. That's why the planes are bad, even though this plane was built back in 2015. Right?
Long before any DEI management was put into place. You're right, Jack. That's exactly right.
DEI is the real problem that's going on over it, but it's not the company's problem. We can't blame the practices of the company in being that they're pumping out a product too fast and ignoring warning signs. This is something that needs to be addressed. This is something that needs to be talked about. And I'm glad that the more that this happens, the more people become aware of it. But I'm still flying Alaska because Alaska. Well, let me do a demo really quick.
Sure.
Because in Alaska, safety comes first. You want to know how I know? I exclusively fly Alaska everywhere I go. If Alaska doesn't fly there, I don't go there. That's how much I love Alaska. See what I'm saying?
You'd rather take a covered wagon than fly anything but Alaska.
I'd rather do the Donner Pass and eat my cousin and get dysentery than not fly Alaska. You see what I'm saying?
I do. I hear you.
Laura,
they hear you.
They're calling right now, I'm sure.
Get me sales. I need them to endorse me. Tell them I will cut my endorsement fee by 2%.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Just like you cut the limbs in the Donner Party.
And just like how I cut the limbs on the Donner Party.
A clean cut.
Clean, because Alaska should be endorsing me.
Exactly.
I am their number one. Yep. I will advocate for that company until the day that I die. When I flew first class, when they asked me if I wanted the veggie plate or the protein plate, and I said, which one do you like more? The man brought me both. He brought me both. What kind of service is this? You don't get that on Delta?
No. Food, Delta.
Get out of here. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. Everybody's seen those viral post listings of store closures in blue states? Well, King 5 did a little bit of the old, let's actually look at some of these photos. Some of those photos, you'd be surprised to know, aren't even from this decade. It's actually pretty funny to see how social media is manipulated on a daily basis. We'll talk about it right after this.
The internet can be a dark and often dangerous place. Only one man has the courage to go where no sensible person would go. Jack Stein is Terminally Online.
Terminally Online, exploring the deepest, darkest reaches of the internet so you don't have to. Spike, you know, there's nothing I hate more than these leftists out here, right?
I hear you every day,
buddy. These libs who are ruining this country. And I was on Facebook, which I use often all of the time. Don't question me on this. And I saw a social media post that really just confirmed how I feel about these libs, Nicholas, these leftists out there. You know what I'm talking about, Nicholas. Don't deny it.
The L word?
The L word.
The big L.
The big L, as we say on this show. Look at these stats. I saw this on Facebook, which I use all the time because I'm a huge fan of Facebook and I'm not lying. Walmart is closing 23 stores in 8 states, all blue. Target is closing 9 stores in 4 states, all blue. Walgreens, 900 stores. Mostly blue. Bed Bath & Beyond is closing its remaining 360. Lowe's, Macy's, Starbucks, all closing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The economy is bloodbath. And this is why we need to make serious changes around here, because Joe Biden is both an imbecile, but also an evil genius who hates America. But he's also old and stupid, but he also hates America. These aren't paradoxical ideas that don't make any sense. I'm making perfect sense. It's the leftists out there that are destroying this country. I won't stand for it anymore, Spike.
Should we get a big 70-foot Biden with an "I did that" every time they close a store? So people know what's going on, why this is happening to our country.
Kroger has closed 413 stores. This is true facts or whatever this person wrote on Facebook. But then I found this out. My anger was assuaged. My rage dissipated.
Oh.
Because King 5, our good friends, did a a verification on this social media post. Now, this has been copy-pasted I don't know how many hundreds of times. And King 5 went around and they looked at SEC filings and financial reports, earnings calls, company press releases, media reports, court documents, a Macy's spokesperson and a Kroger spokesperson. And the answer is that this is indeed incredibly misleading, right? So some of the numbers are accurate, but other ones are outdated, missing context, or misleading, or simply inaccurate. So just as an example, it doesn't give a timeline of when all these closures were happening. Uh-huh. Some of these closures happened back in 2008. So
wait a minute, hold on.
You know,
he wasn't even vice president.
So a lot of these closures happened during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Some of these closures were due to a shift in the way that these companies are choosing to do business, moving to a digital model in the same way that Amazon has exclusively digital. So it looks like the claim that Walmart is closing 23 stores in 8 states, all blue, that is indeed false. That is completely misleading. And they closed several stores, some of which were in blue states, 5 of which were in red states. And D.C. So, and also Walmart has recently announced plans to open 150 new stores. So the economy's going pretty good. Economy's going pretty good. And what's irritating about this is that if you look at things like the consumer price index, or if you look at things like the economy as a whole, sure, people are still having a difficult time financially. But let's not lie about how the economy is doing at a macro level.
Right.
At a micro level, you can be upset about things like gas, absolutely, but that's Jay Inslee's fault. You can be upset you can be upset about things like the price of eggs going up, but that's because the bird flu outbreak in Texas. Because they have
billions of birds.
Right, because they have lower standards choose to regulate that industry than other states do, which is why they've lost so many birds from bird flu, because they don't know what they're doing. So those are microeconomic examples of how prices fluctuate. But when you put it all on the shoulders of Joe Biden or blue states or whatever it is, you're just kind of wrong. And there's not really another way to address that. Like, people make a lot of money talking about how awful Washington State is or whatever it is.
Sure.
Like, people are literally paid to host a show where all they do is talk about how awful Washington State is. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at the economic output, it's actually pretty good. Highest median income in the country. That's a pretty good stat. I get really tired of people lying about it and trying to make it seem as if everything is just wrong and bad and that it's a terrible state and people don't know what they're doing, when in actuality, your eggs are cheaper in Washington State because they have better regulation on that industry than in Texas.
USA out of my coop, they said. I want big brother looking at my chicken's business end.
Looking over my shoulder. So
if you get your education at Meme U, I don't think you're getting a good education. I think more and more I'm leaning toward some kind of competency test at the polling place, at the voting booth, even at my home mail-in ballot. I want people to be people who are misinformed by things like this. Blue state means closure.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, Starbucks closed 105 stores, but they also opened 380.
Right.
Context is important.
You might want to rethink the phrasing on that competency test.
I can't buy tickets online until I show every block that has a traffic sign in it. Yet I can pick up a ballot and write, "Yup, Joe Biden did that."
So, Spike, the reason I'm grimacing is because
I know what poll taxes. Yeah, I know.
You know what a competency test was back in the day?
Yeah.
Counting pebbles in a...
Sorry, you missed it by 20. Can't vote.
I think you might want to stray away from that joke.
Maybe I'm leaning toward a more educated electorate. Maybe that's how I should say this.
Well, I think another way... I've always said that I don't think that people should have to take a civics test to be able to vote, right?
Okay.
I think that it's the responsibility of media to try to kind of parse these things out and express exactly what King 5 did. I think this is a really great example where they go through the claims that were made in this.
Every single one.
Every single one. And then they find out what the truth of it is. The people being ignorant is partially their fault, but it's also the fault of a media matrix that fundamentally does not care about the population that they serve.
Only that they get their eyeballs and have them buy their sponsor's products.
Exactly.
No, you're totally right.
So when the model becomes, like, there's a group out there that I won't name, but you can Google it and you can look it up, and they dump a ton of money into various media groups in Washington State trying to get people who are independents or moderates to vote conservative.
Okay.
And it's really seedy and it's really gross. It's the same thing that the Democrats have done in other states, where they just or the big Republican dollars are coming into Washington state to try to convince people to vote in a new way or in a different way. Now, in some instances, that's a good thing because we all like police.
Right? Yeah, I'm all for it.
Right. And in some instances, that's a good thing because some aspects of the kind of hyper-lib society we live in is very annoying. But in other ways, it's really bad. It's really gross because then you end up with people who think that this information is true and they're, you know, misinformed.
And they're often voting against their own interests. Because they have been for profit,
yeah.
Purposely misled,
right? Yeah,
told to be who to be angry at,
yeah,
and then they go out and vote. You're right. I was wrong about the whole voter competency test thing. I know what a slippery slope that was back in the Jim Crow era.
What if the only competency test is it? Can you? What does this say? Ballot. Okay, great. You get to vote. Congratulations.
As long as the signatures match.
Wage theft victims are owed $5.4 million that Washington hasn't collected. Why is this the case? What is wage theft? Well, I'm an expert because I sued somebody for $250,000 for wage theft. And you will not believe the amount that I sued over to win roughly $250,000. We'll talk about that when we get back right after this. Right. Tame Impala, Nick, what are you doing to me on a Monday?
I'm feeling, you know, psychedelic kind of moody vibes
this
today.
Is such a great record.
Oh, my gosh.
You know
one of my favorites.
He plays every instrument on this entire record.
I don't know that I've ever heard this before.
Kevin Parker's a renaissance.
Kevin Parker, he's an Australian man who sings in a high falsetto voice.
Oh, yeah.
That is just very, very psychedelic indeed.
Aussie falsettos right in my wheelhouse. I should listen into this.
So, L&I has failed to collect $5.4 million from employers that the agency says that workers are owed. If you don't know what wage theft is, it's if you're paid below minimum wage or if you are not paid in a timely manner. Mm-hmm. That's considered to be wage, or you're not paid for the entirety of your work. So let us just say you put in 40 hours and you only get paid for 32.
Or you get tips and you're shorted
in your
levels.
Tips. Yeah. And so it's L&I's job to go ahead and, you know, you can complain to L&I and then they try to solve that for you. They have really slacked in trying to collect that money because the process is that they got to send out a notice and then they got to get collected. And what do you do then if the business just doesn't offer it?
Well, most often, all of the responsibility falls to the worker who feels they've been shorted.
Exactly.
You can hire an attorney or a private firm to seek
it. I did.
That's a luxury that you were able to enjoy. Most people got to rely. They don't have money for an attorney, so they got to go to Washington, L&I.
I didn't have money for an attorney. The guy took it on contingency.
Pro bono? That's nice. Or no, pro bono is where they don't pay. Sorry. Contingent.
Contingency, Spike, gotcha. Is what the word that was going to come out of my mouth.
My apologies.
No, what were you going to say, Spike?
When employees are filing a complaint with L&I, they want every piece of documentation, your paperwork, your time cards, the wages you earned, the tips you
exactly.
say you earned, and it's all falls on the employee, and very few people have the information, so that's all. Most of it's dismissed out of hand, and you can pursue it for years. You eventually just give up.
Right. So basically, the L&I told the Times that it was an oversight and that they had actually recovered $300,000 of the nearly $800,000 it was determined that was owed to workers, but they couldn't confirm whether that amount recovered was at the end of 2023. Because when they talked to the legislature about it last year, they said they had collected nothing.
Right.
$0. So this is a big issue because wage theft happens to anybody. It can happen to any industry at any point in time. I was a victim of wage theft because I was working for a man who I shall not name at a radio station that I used to work for. And it turned out that in the state of California, they upped the minimum wage from $11 an hour to $12 an hour. And he had us all categorized as independent contractors illegally because we all had a schedule. We all had roles there. They provided us with our tools to do our job, the whole nine yards.
Right.
So I turn in my invoice that now has $12 an hour as opposed to $11 an hour. And my boss said, no dice. I got a letter email from the HR lady who said, if you want to negotiate a raise, you have to talk to the owner. I can't give it to you. And I said, but it's the law.
I don't want to negotiate a raise.
And then she said, in this building, it is not state law. It's the owner's law, was the email that I got back. Now, she should not have sent that email because I took that email directly to a lawyer. And I found a lawyer. My lawyer's name was Doug Kane. And I don't have any problem advertising for the guy because he's a phenomenal lawyer in the state of California. And I said, these are all my emails. And he says to me, just record every conversation that you have about this issue and bring it back to me when eventually you get terminated or you get fired. And so I just kept pushing the issue. Give me my dollar. Give me my dollar. I want my dollar. You owe me my dollar. I want my dollar. And then eventually I said, if you do not give me my dollar, I will resign. I will consider this to be a forced termination because I am owed that dollar. $1 is all that I was owed.
Like in Trading Places.
And so they said, fine, sue us if that's what you're going to do. And that's exactly what I did. So about 8 months later, so my former employer, what he had actually done is instead of getting a real, like an employment lawyer, what he had done is he hired one of his real estate buddies who was a lawyer to do all the court proceedings for him.
Yeah.
And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse for him because his buddy didn't know what he was doing. So then he goes down to LA and he finds one of these like high-priced employment lawyers. And this guy goes, you got to settle like today. So not only did they offer to pay for the settlement, meaning like the arbitration guy, which was like $5,000.
Wow.
They offered to pay me for my time just to show up to.
Yeah.
So, and then about, 3 hours later, I suddenly became a member of the upper middle class.
Woo!
In a matter of moments. Now, my lawyer took it on contingency, which meant that he got a third of whatever I got,
right,
which I thought was more than fair, considering that if I lost the case, he got nothing.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show that the side of the state is largely on the side of the worker, as it should be. But with L&I not following through on collecting this money from employers, you've got one woman in this article. She said that she's owed something like $5,600. That's not a small amount of money that she has yet to actually collect. So, you know, I understand the frustration that people have. And my question to L&I is, isn't this your job?
Yeah.
Isn't this what you do? Isn't this like the, you know, labor and industry? Isn't this the two things that you're actually, it's not like you're like fish and chips. That would be a totally different job. Or Dave and Buster's. That's an entirely different job.
Yeah.
Benson and Hedges, different job altogether, right?
L&I means labor. It means industry. But, you know, most folks go into a job and they don't expect to have to keep track of every minute, every pay stub, every receipt. You don't think it's going to end up in litigation.
Yeah.
That you're going to get screwed over by your boss.
Right.
So when you do and you haven't kept, or you're no longer at the place because you left because, like you did, you had to quit.
Forced termination.
Then you don't have access to all the records that you need to make an L&I claim.
Yeah, that's why my advice to anybody out there is the same advice my fantastic lawyer, Doug Kane, gave me, which is you write everything down. You keep every single email,
yeah,
both in digital and in hard copy. And every conversation you have, you write it down, and the date and the time and who was present. Every phone call, you screenshot it.
Can I ask you, how much were you due at a buck an hour? You know, when you asked him to be paid fairly,
So he would have owed me about $4,000.
Right.
And he ended up paying me, multiply four times.
Oh, it's 28,000 times more.
It's just 28 times more, not 1,000 times more. He would have owed me, yeah. No, he could have paid me $4,000 and we could have left it alone, but instead he ended up paying me a lot more.
Okay, yeah, a lot more.
The check was so big that when I took it to the bank, they said, can you actually, we have an office for people like you.
You can't have this.
Do
you want some water? Do you want some tea?
Cucumber water?
And I said, as a matter of fact, I would now that I'm a rich guy. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. Speaker Johnson's job is on the line as the House returns. Trump is rethinking his abortion stance, but not really. And also, we're going to play a little bit of the spin room because something happened and I didn't watch it because it was boring. But we'll make it fun and with a game when we get back right after this.